Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
I'm Casper Van Dien, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hi, I'm Christos Gage.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gage.
I'm Barry Gregory. And
hi, this is Derek Donovan. And
this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
Everybody, welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and I'm coming from to you from beautiful Tennessee and deep within the swamps of Louisiana in the Hall of Doom with his friends Giganta and Scarecrow and all the rest. Mike Manning, how you doing down there, Mike?
Solomon Grundy need pants.
I knew someone was going to make the pants joke. I thought it was going to be Josh. Josh in Boston, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't believe somebody beat me to the pants joke.
That is like one of your favorite of all times. And rounding out our group is LT. LT, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much. Just ready for another great episode.
And this episode will be great because we're talking about one of your absolute favorite superheroes, Iron Man, better known as Tony Stark. Everyone's going to be going over some of their favorites in the series or issues. LT, since he's your favorite, why don't you give us a little background on Tony Stark?
Okay, Tony Stark. He comes from old money. His father was a rich inventor, war profiteer, and he joined the business. And in Vietnam, he was out inspecting some of his new weapons in the field, and the group that he was with got hit by Viet Cong, and he basically was hit with a shrapnel from a grenade and almost died. He was captured by the Viet Cong soldiers, and him and one of the Vietnamese scientists worked out how to make the Iron Man armor, and he used it to escape. This was kind of recreated in an updated fashion in the Iron Man movie, but he's basically a self-made superhero.
Literally a self-made superhero. All right, Mike, why don't you give us one of your favorite issues or runs of the Iron Man series?
So I'm going to talk about the Armor Wars. Now, I got to confess something first.
Stiltman.
I hate Iron Man. I don't hate the Tony Stark that you see in the movies. I hate the ones from the comic books back in the Bronze Age and Silver Age. And I thought he was horrible. The only time I collected Iron Man was starting in issue number 170 when James Rhodes took over as Iron Man. That's when I actually thought the book was interesting. But I went back and I dove back into the Armor Wars. It's issues number 225 and 232, starting in December of 1987 and continuing through 1988. It's when Iron Man was in his red and silver armor, still one of the members of the West Coast Avengers, because, you know, they were awesome. But in this series, he finds out that Spy Smasher has stolen some of his tech and given it to Justin Hammer. And Justin Hammer has funneled it off to various supervillains. He's not sure which villains are using his new tech, so he hires Scott Lang to break into Justin Hammer's facility, not knowing that Scott Lang is Ant-Man, and copy his computer drive. Scott does that for him because Tony Stark offers him a lot of money. And he finds out, yeah, they delivered it to a whole bunch of supervillains, and he starts hunting them down. And he starts with the most deadliest villain of all, Stiltman.
It all comes around, doesn't it?
It does. This Stiltman is breaking into a fifth-story building, on the fifth floor of a high-rise, because nobody has security alarms on the windows of the fifth story, because who would have a ladder to break into somewhere? And when he's doing it in the middle of the day, by the way, which I also find amazing. He sees Iron Man. Iron Man's like, hey, stop. I want your armor. And Stiltman's like, I got to get out of here. So Stiltman, and this is amazing because you know how badass Stiltman is, but the fight actually only takes 2 pages. The first page is the fight, and the second page is Stiltman running from the Iron Man because he's like, I can't handle this guy. Stiltman drops the stilt part of his legs and then flies off because that's part of his new technology, which begs the question, if he can fly, why does he need the stilts? But that's neither here nor there. So he then proceeds to go after a whole bunch of other people, including the Beetle, the Controller, the Crimson Dynamo, Titanium Man. It's an interesting series, but again, I'm not a big fan of Iron Man, so I didn't really enjoy it that much. I thought it was interesting that when Stark does go to Russia to try to destroy the Crimson Dynamo and Titanium Man's armor, he accidentally kills Titanium Man. And the whole purpose of his quest is because he doesn't want anybody to accidentally die. And he's like, well, he justifies it to himself, like, oh, well, that sucked, but it was a self-defense because Titanium Man was trying to kill me. Not really delving into the fact that Titanium Man wouldn't have been trying to kill him if Stark wasn't there trying to take his armor. I do like the fact that in this series that Stiltman sues Stark Industries for Iron Man's excessive use of force against him. And as Josh had talked to you about last week when we talked about Captain America No More, in this there's a crossover with Captain America, actually just Captain now, where he hands over a shield. But it's also good because Tony Stark decides that all his armor is too valuable and his technology is too important to get out and he can't trust anybody. So he disables the mandroids that he sold the shield and then breaks into the vault to take out all the guardsmen. Yes, these guys who are guarding the worst supervillains in the country. He disables all their technology and then leaves, not really realizing he's now caused a massive prison break, which Captain America has to handle. He ends up being able to get out of all his legal ramifications by faking his death in a battle with this guy named Firepower. But it's not a great series. Again, if you're going to read it, I recommend just reading issue number 225 because that's got Stiltman in it.
It all comes around to Stiltman every single time.
It does. He's the man.
And it's been a while since I've read the Armor Wars, but at one point, Tony Stark just kind of goes after anybody that has armor and actually attacks the Avenger, Stingray, and is kind of surprised when his device to take out his tech doesn't work on Stingray because Stingray actually made his own suit of armor not using any of Stark's tech.
Ooh, so there's someone out there that can also make armor. Tony no like.
Yeah, there's plenty of people out there who make their own armor. Unfortunately, he wasn't sure who the last person was that had it. That's why he went after Stingray, assuming, oh, well, he's got armor. It must be that guy. It makes him wanted by the U.S. government, or excuse me, Iron Man. So Tony Stark, in order to cover it up, fires Iron Man. Although I do have to share one of the best parts of the comic book is after Iron Man has been found innocent, they're talking about finding a new PR person. And James Rhodes' girlfriend at the time is the publicist for Stark International. And she says, well, we still have Iron Man, but he's a public relations nightmare. Maybe I should find somebody else to be our spokesman. I wonder what Bill Cosby's doing.
Nice. That'll bring us over to social. No, that won't bring us over to social relevance.
I know, but I'm still going to post that on our website, Outside the Long Box. So if you want to see that frame, it is beautiful.
Oh, send it to me, too. I'll put it on our Twitter page. That's kind of funny.
All right.
Now, we all argued about who got to talk about this particular issue. So, Tommy, why don't you take us to Demon in a Bottle.
Demon in a Bottle. Going back to 1979, Iron Man number 120 started out the Demon in the Bottle saga. In it, Justin Hammer, in an act of revenge, starts messing with Tony Stark's armor and causing some malfunctions. And eventually it causes Tony Stark to accidentally kill someone with his armor. because Justin Hammer was controlling it. And it started Tony's descent into alcoholism and ruin. This one sort of act where he can't figure out why his armor is malfunctioning, and he starts drinking to excess and can't stop. And it starts him down the road to ruin. And even though there's not a lot of actual alcoholism in the eight-issue run that is considered Demon in a Bottle in terms of the graphic novel, it really does kind of pave the way for Stark losing his company to a bite of stain and his kind of road to pennilessness, which he eventually recovers from. But it really does kind of set him down a path where he has trouble recovering and kind of loses everything for a while, which is also why Rhodey had to kind of take over, because he couldn't be Iron Man anymore. He was flying around drunk and kind of came to his senses that it really wasn't what he should be doing as a hero.
Yeah, we all argued about who got to do that one, because everyone remembers Demon in a Bottle. I think it's just something that really sticks in your mind. Josh, what's your favorite little run?
I was going to branch out a little bit and just talk in general about the things I like and don't like about both the non-powered sort of inventor kind of hero, sort of the I kind of classify Batman in this as well. I like, they're almost always like flawed human characters, you know. Batman's got his dark background, something that drives them to become better than they are. Tony Stark is also a very flawed character. You know, he's got the alcoholism. He's always accidentally killing people. His tech gets out all the time and causes mischief throughout the world. He delves into the Civil War thing, so he's sort of himself into politics and sort of the world geography at times when he probably shouldn't. But they also have the other side where they, you know, they invent these wonderful gadgets, and I like the idea that they're sort of self-made, that they sort of selected their own powers, and how that sort of reflects what kind of person they are. But one of the things that always annoys me about the gadget types is that I think there's maybe a little too much of the "I just happen to have the right thing at the right time" go on in comics that sort of drives me nuts.
Well, that happened way too much with Batman and his bat belt that had, like, shark repellent on it. The only time he ever fell in water and things like that.
And that happened with Iron Man a good deal, too. I mean, there was several times in the 70s where Iron Man suddenly had roller skates on his boots and also skeleton keys in his gauntlets and such.
Yeah, and I think those are the things that got to me.
Just to defend Batman with the shark repellent, that is from the Batman 1966 movie, and he did not have the shark repellent on him. It was in his helicopter. Robin had to hand it down to him.
Oh, of course you have it in the helicopter because it might go down over water. Okay, that makes way better sense.
There was also octopus repellent, stingray repellent. There was a whole bunch of repellents in the helicopter. No bird repellent, which was shocking to me. But
because he was fighting the penguin. That's what he needed, for God's sakes.
He didn't have penguin repellent, though.
Yeah. He probably just seen Jaws 2 and was worried that his helicopter would get bitten by a giant shark and pulled into the ocean.
Well, he hadn't even seen Sharknado yet, because then he'd have Sharknado repellent.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about something. I'm going to get off subject just a little bit, too, because I wasn't a huge fan of the comic book. I fell back in love with Iron Man, though, when Robert Downey Jr. took over and did Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie. I loved that movie. And you guys can argue with me if you like, but I think that's the movie that started turning around superhero movies. Opinions?
Well, you know, I've got to say that it was probably the most massively watched superhero movie of the new generation. But, I mean, The Crow, in my mind, was a perfect comic book movie.
Yeah, but that really sort of dodges what didn't really kick off the...
It didn't really kick off the modern movement, you know? but I think it was one of the first comic book movies to be done well.
Well, I think if you're talking about Marvel, you got to look at the predecessor to that is Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Yeah, trilogy. Sam Raimi's Spider-Man was pretty good too, but I do like Iron Man a lot better.
I think that they would not have made Iron Man if Sam Raimi hadn't made the three Spider-Man movies.
But my argument is Iron Man was the first really good one. I didn't even like most of the Spider-Man movies.
The first
Spider-Man.
First one
was
I liked,
amazing.
But I really didn't understand why they didn't put Willem Dafoe in a mask.
Yeah, he didn't need a mask at all.
Should have just given him face paint. Should have just given him face paint and a wig.
Face paint. They just could have used a little bit of green light on that guy. But you got to admit, it was amazing seeing Spider-Man swing around the city. Don't you guys agree?
I agree wholeheartedly.
It was great. I mean, they really did have the gravity down pretty good in that, the physics.
I hated the fact that he was spooging spider webs out of his wrist so much that it distracted me. I loved seeing Stan Lee in the movie. I loved, seeing the Macho Man in there as Hacksaw. Everyone loved seeing Bruce Campbell in it. It was just I really hated that part because being an inventor was such a big part of Peter Parker. And man, did we get off the subject of Iron Man.
It's true. But Iron Man movie was brilliant. It was a perfect movie.
I really thought it was. It was a great movie with great actors all around. And in my opinion, that's what really turned the comic book movies around. It started making them really, really good.
The problems are all the twos and threes. What's up with the twos and threes?
Well, I didn't hate three. As a matter of fact, I kind of liked three. Mandarin was a little weird, but, I still kind of liked it. Two, well, it was a little weird.
Two was horrible.
All the Iron Man movies, but then again, I'm a huge Iron Man fan.
Yeah. Two wasn't horrible, but certainly wasn't my favorite of them.
It was so close to horrible that they might accidentally get its mail. Not a bit horrible, but...
Knock, knock, knock. Hey, horrible. Yeah, I got your mail again. Yeah, I'm sorry we live so close. All right, well, that's it for Iron Man. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for me today?
I have the Invincible Iron Man. Marvel has been restarting everything after the Secret Wars. And the latest Invincible Iron Man, it's only on issue number 7. It's being written by Bendis, who is amazing. And although I didn't like Iron Man before, this is the Iron Man from the movies. This is the Robert Downey Jr. version of Iron Man. He is funny and just all around likable. The series is great because Dr. Doom, having been cured of his face by Reed Richards at the end of Secret Wars, has now walking around without his armor and is trying to become a better person. And so he was helping Iron Man out in the series, and it's driving Iron Man crazy because he's like, this is Dr. Doom. He is a bad guy. He's going to turn on me somehow. And Doom's like, no, man, I'm just trying to hang out. I want to be your friend. So it's very funny. Doom is the sidekick and the comic relief in this comic. It's very good. I highly recommend it.
So Doom just wants to Netflix and chill. That's disturbing as hell. Tommy, what you got at the back of the long box?
I'm not going back that far tonight. I'm going to choose Sex Criminals Volume 1, Weird Trick. I loved Sex Criminals. I thought it was the most inventive comic that I've read in a really, really long time. In it, Susie, the main character, she can stop time when she orgasms. And she finds John, who has the same ability, and they decide to go on a crime spree to steal money to pay the mortgage of the library that Susie works at. And this was just a wonderful, wonderful, creative storyline by Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky. Came out in 2013, and I have been a fan ever since then.
Now, this is one of those comic books that everybody tells me I have to read because I'm a huge pervert and I love comic books. Josh, remember we were in Newbery Comics. I said, Sex Criminals. Everyone's telling me to read this.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I have to get. Josh, do you want to go off on a tangent for us?
Yeah, we were talking about Iron Man, and I'll just say I was at Super Mega Fest last Saturday.
Super Mega Fest.
Super Mega Fest.
Super Mega Fest. There was a fantastic Tony Stark there, whom I forgot to take a picture of. But he had the briefcase half turning into the armor over his arm.
Awesome!
And he was just walking around as Tony Stark. It looked very good. The guy did a great job. But the event was actually, the con was better than I thought it was going to be. There was a really good turnout. There were some decent folks there. I had a great interview with Mark McKenna of Marvel Artistry fame. I had an interview with Penny Dreadful, a local TV horror hostess.
You kind and of know I, Penny, don't you?
I do know Penny from a very long time ago. She went to college with a friend of mine, so I've probably known her for maybe 20 years or so. I had a great interaction with Kevin Sorbo. He was fantastic. He was very accommodating, really nice guy. Met Cynthia Rothrock and got her away from a creepy fan. She was very appreciative.
She probably could have, in her defense, she could have scorpion kicked the hell out of that creepy fan.
I was almost waiting for that moment, and then, you know, I was just going to take advantage by pulling her off. But I decided not to, so I just interceded on a social instead of a physical level.
You don't pull off Cynthia Rothrock. Cynthia Rothrock pulls you off.
That sounds much better.
I know, right? She was one of my she was easily one of my biggest crushes when I was a kid.
And then I did speak briefly with Casper Van Dien, who, when I was telling him about the podcast, looked at me like I was a goat with two heads and couldn't figure out the magic of voice recording. And I was putting up air quotes there, but you can't see them. And Dina Meyer was also there.
I'm sorry, just to interrupt you quickly about Casper Van Dien. Have you seen Con Man yet?
No, I've not.
He is the bartender. So no matter what bar Alan Tudyk is, no matter where in the country, Casper Van Dien is the bartender.
Oh, my God.
It is his best part ever. I'm just saying.
That's not hard to believe.
Oh, since we're off on a tangent here, where can we see Common? What platform is that on?
Well, I have the Blu-ray and DVD because I was one of the Indiegogo donors, and my name is in the credits, along with, like, 40,000 other people. But Vimeo is a platform I think you can get it on.
Vimeo. Is that Vimeo, or are you just mispronouncing Vimeo?
I'm mispronouncing Vimeo. Or it should be on iTunes also.
I'll grab it on iTunes.
Yeah, I'll check it on iTunes.
I would say let me borrow yours, but I'd rather give Alan Tudyk a couple of bucks. For God's sakes, he's awesome.
It's true.
He is pretty good.
All right, let me talk a little bit about my social justice comic book of the week.
Well, I can't cut Josh off. Josh, did you have anything else about Super Megafest?
No, we'll play the Mark McKenna was great. We'll play his interview in another episode. And I do have to say I did ask for a hug from Dina Meyer, and I did warn her that it was going to last too long and eventually she'd have to push me away.
I don't know who Dina Meyer is.
She's the redhead from Starship Troopers.
Oh, well, then all right.
She did have to push me away.
As well as many women have in the past.
You know.
So this brings me to my section, social relevance in comic books, and I'm going to talk about Justice League number 57, Man, Thy Name is Brother. It has a UN logo on the front cover as well as the three heroes. That would be the Green Arrow, Flash, and Hawkman. And they are holding hands and talking with a young Apache boy, a young African-American, and a young Utar. That is a made-up Middle Eastern boy. This is one of those comic books that goes way out of its way to talk about inclusivity in the world. Green Arrow travels to an Apache reservation to help a young Apache boy who's being discriminated against. The Flash helps a young African-American man in New York who, even though he stops a crime, the owner of the clothing shop where he works doesn't want anything to do with him anymore because he thinks he started the crime. The Flash kind of helps him get around that. And Hawkman helps the Utars and the Bassas make peace because they were stealing food from each other in rural India. And that one's really, really bad. Not only are the two tribes made up, all my research couldn't come up with any Utars or Bassas, but they talk in such an anachronistic way that it's pretty cringeworthy. Read this comic book to see how social inclusivity should not be handled. Has anyone read this one?
Yeah.
I'm not.
You, Do you remember it all, Mike?
I remember it vaguely. I do remember it was the Hawkman part was the worst part.
It was easily the worst part.
I haven't read that Justice League in years.
It kind of made all of the look like they were living in pre-Middle Ages. It was pretty terrible. All right, so that's all our little sections today. We're going to talk a little bit about plugs and what's coming up. Mike, what do you got coming up, and who should we thank besides our awesome house band, Kirby Crackle?
Well, obviously, we should thank Kirby Crackle. So I'm going to plug Space City Comic Con. It's coming up in May, and I will be there doing interviews. I'm not sure if we're going to have a panel there or not, but I look forward to seeing anybody who's in the Houston area go out to Space City Comic Con.
All righty, Tommy, I'm guessing you are going to plug our favorite T-shirt designer. Who's that?
I do love to plug ianleino.com, IANLEINO.com, purveyor of fine, fine T-shirts and glasses and geekwear. Love the ianleino.com.
Well, I'm going to plug our Twitter account, which I'm in charge of. We've been putting up some kind of fun stuff. It's outside the long box at the long box, guys. And we have a lot of people who talk with us. We chat about comic books. Follow us all if you guys want to have a little interaction. How about you there, Josh?
Well, I'll go ahead and plug Mark McKenna since he gave us such a great interview. You can go to www.markmckennaart.com and check out all the comics he's been involved with and check out his con schedule and go say hi. He's a real nice guy.
And while we're plugging things, we should probably also say it's never too early to give us a positive review on iTunes.
That's right. Even if you only heard this episode, go over there and let them know what you think. Unless you hated us.
Unless you hate us. Don't give us a review then.
That's
because,
okay.
I mean, if you hate us, why would you bother spending your time trying to write a bad review? No.
Because it's the internet. That's what
that's
people
do. Ooh, that's true. That's a good point. We're talking about the wrong crowd.
Possibly. Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, write us a good review, and we'll give you a comic book whenever we see you at a con. That is a promise. We always have extra comic books.
We do. Sure. And speaking of comic books, we have an interview tonight with an author of one of the comic books called Lights Out. His name is Landon McMinn. He is got his own comic book. It's a horror comic about a kid and his teddy bear fighting off supernatural creatures. It's not my kind of comic. I'm more into superheroes, but if you like supernatural comics, you can check it out. It's by Bubba Shark Productions, and he'll tell you how to. You can find it.
My name's Landon McMahon, and this is Inside the Long Box.
All right, we are here at Pensacon 2016, and we are talking about one of the writers of an independent comic. Can you tell us about your comic book?
Yes, sir, I can. It starts off with a young boy, not giving away any spoilers, and this tragic accident happens, and he just goes through this loss, and he's trying to cope with it, but a friend comes into his life, and they help each other, and when you first read it and look at it, you're wondering, okay, what's going on here? How are these supernatural events starting to play out? And as the books go on, there's going to be many theories and things will start to wonder, like, what's the deal with the, which I will say this, there's a werewolf in book one, and each story there's going to be more urban legends, and it's all going to play out in the fifth book. And I really think supernatural fans, just fans of horror, will really like it, and I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah, I read it last night. It's a horror comic starring a little kid, which is a great premise for any kind of horror story because little kids are afraid of everything. And when something starts happening, I'm not even sure after reading it if it's actually happening or if it's in the kid's mind. So how can somebody pick up your comic book?
They can order it on Lulu.com or they can go to Bubble World Comics, which will lead them to that website. And if you want to know, well, basically Lulu is about the only place you can find it right now.
You're going to have to tell everybody what the name of your comic is, though.
The comic's name is Lights Out, and that it was a just a placeholder name for the moment, but I really liked it, so it stuck. So, and that's going to be the name of the comic for now on.
All right, so are you a comic book fan in general?
I do like comic books. I got started on the Superior Spider-Man recently, and I really enjoyed it. And Ultimate Iron Man, I will say that I do like that. I got the first issue of it, so I'm starting to get into it. And a con like this, Pensacon, you get to find all your favorite comic books. And basically the reason why I haven't been able to get into them is I live in a small town where there are no comic book stores, and the only place you can find them is on Amazon or anywhere online. So I really haven't had the chance to read any comic books.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
That was a great interview. Thank you very much, Joshua Opper, for going over to Super Mega Fest.
Super Mega Fest.
Super Mega Fest. Except that wasn't my interview.
Who interviewed him?
I interviewed him at Pensacon 2016.
Well, I'm drunk. Leave me alone. Drunk or not, let me just say this, everybody. Thanks for listening. And once again, don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love.
Can I? Look, I only had two basicallys in there. How could you get drunk on two basicallys?
Well, I also drink every time I screw up a number or when the dog walks by the room. I'm playing a whole different drinking game. Shut up. Good night, guys.
Is that it?
I think so.
Still recording?
Does anybody else want to prattle on for another 3 minutes?
Tuck my kids in the bed. Kiss my wife on the head.